Here in Washington, lawyers both in and outside the Bush administration are debating how prisoners held by the CIA will be affected by this week's policy shift on detainees. Yesterday, the administration conceded that the Geneva Conventions do apply to terror suspects in U.S. custody. Those conventions guarantee the right to basic human and legal protections. But there's still a good deal of confusion over what that will actually mean for prisoners held by intelligence agencies, as opposed to those held by the military in places such as Guantanamo Bay. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly is with us. And Mary Louise, what has the White House had to say about this?
The White House has said very little, and that's been the cause of some of the confusion. Yesterday, we were told that this shift probably would not apply to the CIA. But today, a White House spokesman named Ken Lasias told NPR it probably will apply to the CIA. And he referred to an executive order that the president issued back in 2002, which said terror suspects were not covered by the Geneva Conventions. And Lasias says that across the U.S. government, that executive order no longer applies. What that means is it appears the administration has decided that the several dozen high-level al-Qaeda suspects believed to be in CIA hands should now be afforded basic rights. And that is a big deal. It's a significant reversal of previous policy and signals that there may be a real rethinking underway into how the U.S. intends to go forward with these people.
Well, in practical terms, then, if Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions does now apply to suspected terrorists in CIA custody, what does that mean? How might that change their status?
Well, first of all, the rub here is that the CIA has never actually formally admitted holding people in custody. But there are some 30 to 40 people who we know have been captured. Some of the high-level names, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for example, Abu Zubaydah, who we know have been captured and then never heard from again. So a number of the lawyers who I spoke with today, these are former lawyers at the CIA and National Security Council, National Security Agency, they told me that at a minimum, if the Geneva Conventions are now going to apply to CIA prisoners, then you have to say who you're holding, and you have to start making some sort of progress in figuring out what you're going to do with these people.
So what might the options be there?
It's uncharted territory. I don't think anyone expects Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or anyone like him to show up in a court in Northern Virginia or in New Jersey, and that's because they may have been treated in ways such that the evidence against them is not going to be admissible in a U.S. court. However, I think CIA lawyers are today looking very carefully at how you can figure out some sort of due process for these people. The lawyers I spoke with today outside government were saying at the least you could get somebody, a lawyer, in the military or at the CIA who already has security clearance, let this lawyer in to talk to these people, try to establish that you've at least got the right person in custody, and then take it from there.
Apart from granting a lawyer, though, might it affect the conditions under which they're being held and how they're being treated in custody?
It might. Different courts have interpreted the Geneva Conventions in different ways over the decades, but European courts, for example, have ruled that the Geneva Conventions mean you have the right to a lawyer. In some cases, they've ruled it means you have the right to certain types of food, you have the right to a certain amount of sleep. So all of these things that might very much impact the way that these prisoners are being treated right now.
NPR's Mary Louise Kelly, thanks very much.
You're welcome.